Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our second meeting of after the break. Our first item tonight is our first three items tonight are matters we would be dealing with in closed session. It is because our council will be entering into camera due to personal matters about an individual, a proposed or pending acquisition or disposition of land for municipal purposes, and a position, plan, procedure, criteria, or instruction to be applied to any negotiations carried on or to be carried on by or on behalf of the municipality or local board. So with that, I'm looking for a mover and seconder to move into camera.
Can I declare conflict?
I'd like to declare conflict of interest on A3.
Okay.
Please. And I'll move the move into camera.
Okay. Is there any, there's no problem with him moving? Okay. Thank you, Deputy Mayor Minnelli, and seconded by Councillor Dalgety. All in favor of moving into camera? Okay. So good evening, everyone. Calling the meeting back to order. We had started with a closed session this evening to discuss three items. Regarding the first item, we have a motion coming out of closed session, and that motion is that Council appoint Vicki Lowe, Lynn Button, and Victoria James LaFleur to the Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee. Is there a mover and seconder for that motion? Councillor Girard, Councillor Holmes, any further discussion? All in favor? Thank you. The second item, Birch Point Lane unopened road allowance, direction was provided to staff in camera. And the third item, 28 Mill Street lease agreement, direction was provided to staff in camera. And if you would rise with us for O Canada and remain standing for a moment of silent meditation. We don't have the attendance on here, but I will ask the clerk for attendance.
All in attendance, Your Worship.
Thank you. And approval of the agenda. I'm looking for a mover and seconder for the approval of the agenda, please. Councillor Maiden, Councillor Ferguson, all in favor? Thank you. Disclosure of pecuniary interest and general nature thereof. You can make that statement at this time or when the item arrives on the agenda if that pertains to yourself. Item G is approval of the minutes, and these are the minutes from our August 11th meeting. Is there a mover and seconder for the minutes, please? Deputy Mayor Minnelli, Councillor Dalgety, anything arising from the minutes? Seeing no comments, all in favor? Thank you. Minutes are approved. We have no delegation, deputations, or presentations, no public meetings. Which brings us to the Committee of the Whole report, which is sizable this time around. Are there items that we would like to see pulled for separate vote or discussion? I'm going to be pulling J3, J8, and J9. Is there anything further anyone would like to pull from this list? Councillor Maiden?
I'd like to pull J17, please.
Okay. Anything further? I'm just seeing the clerk.
I think Councillor Holmes had some issues with J16, I think we might want to pull that one too.
You wanted that one pulled too? Okay. Thank you, Madam Clerk. So we have J3, J8, J9. J16, J17. Was there anything further? Okay, seeing not, I'm looking for a mover and seconder for the remainder of these items. Councillor Holmes and Councillor Maiden. So all then in favor of passing motions J1, J2, J4, J5, J6, J7, J10 through J15, J18, J19, and J20. There's no further discussion. All in favor? Thank you. So we'll just go down the list, starting with J3. Two items here. I was going to suggest that we hold this for a vote at our subsequent meeting so that we can have further discussion with staff about the requirement of surveying. Also, I wanted to take the opportunity to ask just for clarification with staff in terms of the direction we provided alongside this motion at our previous meeting regarding maintenance dates for the work that we had directed to occur in that area. Sorry, I'm looking the wrong way. I was thinking Dave was there. Is Dave in the other room?
Yeah, I think in the we're just waiting for the director, acting director of public works, Mr. Armstrong. And I think just in the while we're waiting for him, as far as I know, staff have reached out to property owners along Marshall Street last week with regards to being able to have access to their property for us to go in and do some maintenance work. It's not clear whether there's a true, I guess, easement in the backs of some of these properties. Remember, this is along Marshall Street. There is, like, these are older homes that I think probably predate a lot of the development of easements and drainages and things like that. So what we're looking at is what we can do in a you know, an immediate sense to go in and improve the drainage along this this area. So this would be between, I believe it's the side of Marshall we're talking, I think is Norton on the other side. Is that correct? Right, so Norton and Marshall is what we're talking about, the drainage in between those two. On the other side, it would be Marshall and Finner Court.
Right. Right.
So what I'm referring to in terms of the problem where there's not a clear easement is on the Norton and Marshall side. The Finner Court, Marshall side, there is a an easement in place there with those lots. And what we're looking at is, you know, for the Norton side to go in and do some initial maintenance in there, and we're, you know, asking the permission of the current property owners about whether we can go in. And so staff have been attending to that direction, which was to go and see what the maintenance issues would be. I think the other component of that direction was to bring back during budget the actual capital requirements for 2021, or at least an idea of what the capital could be. And you would make a decision in terms of priority for that in the 2020 budget or future budget. So that's going to require a little more engineering work. So that's going to take a little more time than the immediacy of maintenance at the moment.
Okay. I appreciate that update. And it, Councillor Holmes and Councillor Delgan and I were having a conversation about that direction, and we realized there hadn't been a date assigned to the work. And I think we're all wanting to see it happen sooner rather than later if there are maintenance pieces that that can be occurring. Perhaps we'll leave this then until the director joins us. I can't actually see in the room. I thought he was there. So if you can let me know if he arrives. Maybe we can move ahead to J8. This was the municipal bylaw enforcement policy, which we discussed last meeting. And it was at the agenda meeting we realized that there was wording and updates to parking in here that Councillor Ferguson had identified. So my suggestion was to provide direction to staff to review that wording and the parking aspect that Councillor Ferguson had noted and have this come back to a subsequent meeting if that's the wish of council. Are there any comments on that or thoughts? Just Deputy Mayor Minnelli, if you can use your...
I'm glad they added the addition to the motion about looking into our own bylaw enforcement officer. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that.
So I'm just looking to the clerk. Is it best for us to have a motion attached to the direction?
Yes, so you'll need a motion from council to approve those two recommendations that Committee of the Whole made, which was to, one was to pass the resolution to adopt the proposed bylaw enforcement policy. If you don't want to do that, then we have to, we could provide it as direction to bring for, bring that council direct staff to bring back revisions to the municipal bylaw enforcement policy, if that's the desire of council. And then the second piece of that recommendation from Committee of the Whole was that Committee of the Whole direct staff to bring forward options to have bylaw enforcement services in-house as part of the 2021 budget deliberations. So there's two pieces to that recommendation. If the first one you want to, you can, it's not been put on the floor, so we can amend that. So it says that council direct staff to make amendments to the proposed, or to amend the proposed bylaw enforcement policy and bring it back for council consideration. And then the second part would be, and that council direct staff to bring forward options to have bylaw enforcement services in-house.
So I think we could probably move ahead with the second part of the motion, essentially split the motion, but we don't have it on the floor. So does that make sense?
Yeah, so you want to,
the portion that Deputy Mayor Minnelli had just referenced. So I think our motion would be that council direct staff to bring forward options to have bylaw enforcement services in-house as part of 2021 budget deliberations. Mm-hmm. Okay, is there a mover and seconder for that? Deputy Mayor Minnelli, Councillor Maiden, any discussion? Seeing not, all in favor? Thank you. So then the first half of the motion as it's written, the council direct, do we need to identify those two?
Would be helpful.
Yeah. Okay. So that council directs staff to amend the municipal bylaw enforcement policy to include the parking, and I'm trying to remember what the other one was specifically. It was about working out problems, if they could work out their problems with their neighbor before coming forward, and I think the wording was that you wanted to include if it was appropriate to do so. That's not always going to be appropriate, so.
Certainly parking, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I think the other concern was, and I don't have the wording exactly, but it was,
I don't either, yeah.
If you'd taken the steps with the neighbors where it was appropriate rather than automatically. Mm-hmm. Have I captured it, what your thought was?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think back at the, certainly the parking was foremost, that's for sure. Maybe I can get back to the clerk on it when I can, before it's adopted, as far as writing it up to see, because there is something there, but it certainly the parking was the most predominant one, obviously.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
If I recall correctly, I think it was the section on to encourage that the two parties try to resolve the matter themselves prior to filing a complaint.
Yeah.
I think the your where appropriate is where you wanted to add there, because in certain situations it wouldn't be appropriate.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's
That's it. Yeah, I think that is it.
And then on the first part with regard to parking, I think your issue was the tone of the enforcement policy is that we would try education and intervention first. And I thought your question was, how do you do that with parking? So, you know, we did realize, you pointed that out, that we will make some adjustments to that component such that that is more than likely an enforcement activity that results in tickets, as opposed to education and enforcement where warranted. So we did get that point as well.
Okay, so we're clear on the points. I'm just not clear on how to capture it in a motion, Madam Clerk.
So what I have drafted is that council directs staff to amend the proposed municipal bylaw enforcement policy to edit the parking section and to include clarification on dispute resolution between individuals where appropriate.
Okay, okay. Councillor Ferguson, would you like to move that direction? Okay, is there a seconder for that? Councillor Dalgety? Any further discussion on missed amendments? I think those were the only two. Okay, all in favor? Thank you for providing that direction. J9, this is the request to purchase Glass Street, and I will turn to the CAO for comment here, or suggestion on an alternative motion.
So just with regards to this motion, where it's stated that council you direct the sale of this land, that should reference to declare it as non-viable. So that's the more appropriate, or the wording that's in line with our municipal land sale bylaw. So what you're doing is you're directing that the land is actually surplus, subsequent that it's non-viable, and then we could start working through the process. So instead of the motion directing that it moves directly to sale, basically we're just clarifying the motion such that we'll follow the process, just to make sure that the wording aligns with the policy.
So just to be crystal clear on the wording of the motion then, it's that council pass a resolution declaring the portion of unopened Glass Street road allowance surplus and non-viable?
And non-viable.
Point? Okay. Is there a mover and seconder for that motion? Thank you, Councillor Maiden. Seconder? Councillor Holmes? Any discussion or any clarification needed? Okay, seeing not, all in favor? Thank you. That takes us to J16, which I think, Councillor Holmes, that was your motion that you wish pulled. If you can use your microphone so it records.
Sorry.
Thank you, Councillor.
So the current motion is to direct staff to bring forward a bylaw to regulate, but in fact, my intent on pulling it was to request that we contact the provincial and federal governments to allow for regulation by communities if and when they wanted to do a bylaw. So I just, this is just a little bit of a different motion.
Okay. You'd like to put that motion on the floor then, rather than what's printed?
Yes, please.
Okay, and you'll move that motion?
I will.
Okay, is there a seconder? Councillor Maiden, any further discussion? Seeing not, all in favor? Thank you. And J17, Councillor Maiden.
So I just wanted to pull this and maybe suggest that we direct staff to send a letter of support for, I think it was Minister Clark's letter on broadband, just adding to the three recipients in his letter, just saying we support rural broadband. It doesn't hurt to pile on, I guess, in this case.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to move that motion? Okay, and is there a seconder? Councillor Holmes, any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor? Thank you. And I think we have Mr. Armstrong in the next room.
Yes.
Councillor Holmes? If you can use your microphone.
Could I also speak, please, to J18?
We have already voted on J18, but if there's something you'd like to...
Just some information to add.
Sure,
please. Yep. So what I wanted to mention was that there's a nonprofit group in Lanark County called the Archives Lanark Group. And when the registry offices close, hard copy of records will be removed from the area. And this group is seeking to retain wills and other local information in a central location within Lanark County. And at this time, Archives Lanark wants all councils to be informed of this potential loss and their intention to attempt to save at least a portion of the hard copy records.
Okay. That's good information. Thank you. Was there anything further to that? Okay. Thanks for bringing that to our attention. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Armstrong. So I think you need to use the microphone button there if you've got one. You have a microphone, I think. There we are. So we were discussing J3 on this agenda, which is the zoning bylaw amendment connected to 143 Marshall. And there were two reasons we were discussing it. The first, CAO Kelly has spoken to, and if there's anything you wish to add to it, it would probably be helpful to council. And it was just regarding the tag-along motion, let's say, that didn't appear here because it was Committee of the Whole that was directing that capital projects be identified and come back to the come back to us as part of the budget deliberations. So we did have a date attached to that portion. The second portion, this was discussion between Councillor Holmes and Councillor Dalgate and I, we realized we didn't have a date attached to the direction of having some maintenance occur in that area and take a look at what may need to be occurring that may not be and whatnot. So we were just looking for information as to if that's something that'll be moving ahead at this time. We've been given some direction. Sorry, you want to jump in?
Blasting, if you could comment.
Yeah, and that was, do you want me to jump to that instead?
Mr. Armstrong could speak to whether he has knowledge of that as well as part of that project.
Yes, absolutely. So the maintenance and just looking for information about dates, it was certainly our intention that it happen sooner rather than later, but yeah. We recognized that we hadn't put it in the motion. And then the second piece, as CAO Kelly had noted, there's been some concerns of neighbors to 143 Marshall because of the rock foundations that some of the homes are on. Whether there would be need to survey basements or anything like that to ensure that there's not not going to be damage happening to any of the neighbors' homes in that area when the development does occur at 143 Marshall. So there's two parts there.
Okay. So through you, Madam Mayor. So with the works we were looking at doing the next couple of days up along the back properties of Marshall Street was just to clean up some of the debris that's there. Our acting operations manager, John Gleason. Can you guys hear me? Okay. Louder? Is that better? Okay. Our acting operations manager, John Gleason, visited the site late last week and had a look. And it's so the drainage was never established there along the backs of these properties. So essentially they slope away from the houses, but then they meet another back slope from the houses off of Finner as well. So everything just kind of sits back there. And I guess from what I saw and then speaking with Mr. Gleason, a lot of people, and it certainly happens in a lot of properties, you rake up your grass clippings and take them to the back of the yard and dump them off there. Well, this has been occurring for a number of years, so it's certainly not helping with any kind of drainage coming from the backs of those properties to make its way down to that drain. So that was our immediate works that we had planned to go down there and just sort of hand work and just remove any debris that's there to remove any kind of any impediment that's going to stop the water from flowing away. What CAO Kelly and I spoke about today briefly was just sort of looking at possibly touching base with each individual homeowner there and just saying, you know, is there a way that we can just sort of makeshift some drainage through here until we get to the point of actually putting in some proper infrastructure through there. My understanding from our capital plan is we're 2023 for Marshall and Mercer, so we still have a couple of years to sort of make something work with this area. Again, very preliminary, it was just a discussion we had on the side. I don't believe any homeowner has been contacted directly about this, not to my knowledge anyway. The second part, the neighbors with the rock damage, so these are landscape rocks that you're speaking to in the second part?
It was older homes. And one in particular, I think it's an over 100-year-old home, and there's concerns because she's on a... There's not a basement. It's just a rock cellar.
Slab on grade. Okay.
And is concerned that the foundation may shift depending on the work that's happening at 143. And it was Deputy Mayor Minnelli who had suggested that perhaps a survey of some of those basements would be appropriate, but that was something we wanted to have your opinion on.
Okay. It's certainly something we would look into, certainly with a structure of that age and the way it's built. I don't know what lengths have been taken by the developer at this stage yet. Certainly any works that we're going to recommend and approve happening up there would take into those things into account. Again, not being an engineer, I couldn't say for certain and not even knowing the address that you're speaking of, but certainly it's something that we would look into before we decided to go ahead with any kind of works up there. Okay. I don't have the solution for what's occurring on Marshall Street right now. At the end of the day, if we're able to sort of allow water to accumulate and move away and get it to where we want it to go, which is the top end of that municipal drain, that's our goal. It's just a matter of when and if we're able to do that in the interim until we get some infrastructure in place.
Okay, I appreciate that. So just for clarity, does it make sense at this stage, before we're passing the zoning bylaw amendment, to have a discussion with the developer about surveying any of those neighboring homes, given the concern of some of the neighbors? And just in terms of when we would have that discussion, is it at this point, before passing this zoning bylaw? Is this something that we would discuss later, or have we missed that window?
I think it's good to put it on the developer now. I don't think the going forward, the zoning bylaw is going to affect that. He's still going to have to, or the developer's still going to have to meet that hurdle. So I don't think it's going to impede on this process to not have it at this point, but have it later on and ensure that we have a note of it going forward through Roads and Public Works as well as through Building and Planning.
Okay, thank you for that. Was there any other comments or questions about this item while we do have our director? Thank you. Councillor Maiden.
Yeah, thank you. Through the chair, so I understand we're probably going to do some maintenance work there now, and then look in the 2021 budget at doing, I guess, once you decide what needs to be done, look at spending that next year?
Through the chair. So, yeah, so it's funny. So we just submitted our 2021 draft budgets to the treasurer last Friday. So not to say that there isn't room for things like this occurring. But to me, I don't think it would be a massive undertaking to what we're trying to do up there to alleviate any kind of immediate impacts up there until we get to that point of the capital work happening. I think it's, I don't want to say it's a Band-Aid solution, but it's something that's going to direct that water where we want it to go, because right now where it's going is wherever it's pleasing, and it's not, obviously, with my discussions with Councillor Dalgety over the last couple of days, it's going directly into people's basements. There was never a plan there for it. So it's just kind of been left to wherever it wants to go is where it's going to go, and nobody's obviously brought it up to the right people's attention to actually affect the change with it. So I couldn't give you a price line on what the works would be. My intention, from, like I said, from a brief discussion with CAO Kelly, is just if we can bring in a contractor and just try to implement some swaling down there to direct the water where we want it to go, so it's not going to create any kind of damage to personal property. And if it can slowly dissipate and work its way towards that municipal drain, that's our goal for that area. And if we can even alleviate some of the volumes of water going to personal properties, it's going to be a gain, right? So again, I couldn't say what kind of dollar value we'd be looking at, but it's certainly something that we have considered moving ahead with our operating capital budgets for drainage.
Okay, thank you. I wasn't really expecting a dollar value right now, because okay. I think people need to look at it first before they even have an idea, but there's a few areas that it tends to collect, so thank you very much.
Okay. Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
Thank you. Dave, is there roads and sewer work, is it on schedule? Like you said, maybe scheduled for 2023 there, but do you figure we'll be doing it in 2023 or?
Through the chair, I absolutely believe we'll do it in 2023. I haven't seen anything over the past year that sort of looked at saying we have to remaneuver certain things in our capital schedule. I think Marshall and Mercer is an area that's that hasn't seen those improvements that it needs. We do have a number of areas throughout Almont as well as the rest of the municipality that need to be addressed, and I think it's, you can push things off, but they just become worse and worse and worse. And I think once you set a schedule, unless everything changes drastically, you need to follow that plan. So I, in my purview, I don't see any reason to change that schedule and have that not come at least in 2023, if not, if it becomes a glaring issue, if we can move it ahead a bit.
Thank you very much for the answer I wanted to hear.
Councillor Ferguson.
Yes, thank you. Back to the stormwater management plan, MVCA, have they submitted anything or have they had any discussion?
Through the chair, I don't know if the MVCA had anything to do with this particular property or not. I'm trying to just remember going through some emails, and I'm wondering if this is the property that where the MBCA essentially said that what you're doing here is going to be outside of our purview. That's on the municipality and the property owner. Don't quote me on it, but I believe this was the property that was one of those comments back from MBCA that said essentially this is your plan. It's between the owner and the municipality. I believe. Don't quote me though. I don't have it in front of me. So.
No, I appreciate that, but it seems that MVCA are an integral part of this as well. So I can only assume that there's going to be some approval, obviously, from them, and also some discussion specifically with them, because they have input into it, I would suggest, by the sound of it.
Are you referencing, we have requested that, and we put a provisional hold on this property for a stormwater management plan? And are you inquiring whether the MVCA is going to have input into that stormwater drainage management plan as part of this?
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah,
sorry, Councillor, if you can, there we go.
To their satisfaction as well is going to fly. Yeah. And they're certainly what I think, the way it kind of reads, would have significant input into it.
Maybe not, but. In alignment with Mr. Armstrong on this, I'm not sure that the MVCA comments on this on the stormwater drainage for this property.
Okay.
But we could check into that, Councillor, and get that answer back to you.
So the clerk is wishing to speak.
Yes, I just pulled up the report from the planning department on this file, and in it they indicate that the Mississippi Valley Conservation Authority will provide comments on the stormwater management design on the site as part of the site plan control application. But they have also indicated that they have no objections to the zoning amendment. But they will be providing comments on that stormwater management plan.
So thank you. I feel like we've put you on the spot here a little bit, but there we realized that there were a few pieces that we didn't have answers to, and just wanted to clarify before moving forward with this. So if I'm understanding correctly, there's no concern in going ahead with the zoning bylaw amendment, and really it comes down to if there is blasting occurring by the developers, that would be the issue for the neighbor with the rock foundation. But we can bring that attention, that address to your attention, and ensure that it's on the radar. Is there anything I've misspoken there too, or is that accurate?
Through you, no, I don't believe so, Madam Mayor.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you. And I do thank you that you've been a good sport in us putting you on the spot here this evening. Are we comfortable then going ahead with the zoning bylaw, knowing that there's other pieces yet to come? Is there a mover and seconder? We can go ahead with the zoning bylaw for 143. And as CEO Kelly had mentioned, there is that hold on the development that we require. We don't just require the stormwater plan, but we require both our own public works department and MVCA signing off on it before development occurs. So that's clear for everybody. Okay. Is there a mover and seconder then for J3, which is the zoning bylaw amendment for 143 Marshall? Deputy Mayor Minnelli? Councillor Ferguson? Anything further? Okay, seeing not, all in favor? Thank you, that carries. And thank you again, Mr. Armstrong. Appreciate your time. So I believe we have gotten through the entire Committee of the Whole report. They're not normally that much fun. Next are the bylaws. We have 8 bylaws. Is there any of these 8 that anyone would like to see pulled for separate vote or discussion? Councillor Ferguson?
K1.
Okay.
Please.
Anything else? Councillor Maiden?
More comment that what we just spoke about for J3 really applies to K2, correct? That there is a hold on, and et cetera, just to confirm. Thank you.
Anything else to be pulled? Okay, seeing not, I'm looking for a mover and seconder then to approve bylaws K2 through K8. Councillor Maiden and Councillor Dalgety. Any further discussion on K2 through K8? Seeing not, all in favor? Thank you. And back to you, Councillor Ferguson, for K1.
Yes, thank you. It's on page 42. And it's the last paragraph, specifically to the where it addresses the town may request. And in that one, I would suggest that the town should request.
Shall.
Pardon?
Shall.
Yeah, well, yes. Because, you know, we know we've ran into circumstances like this before where there is no covenant and title specifically to noise, dust, odors, and that type of thing associated with rural living. So that's what I would suggest may be replaced with a shall.
Okay. And again, I had the clerk just looking to add.
So that section that you're referencing, Councillor Ferguson, is from the community official plan.
Okay.
So to change that word, it's changing it in the entire community official plan, and we would also need to then talk to the planning department to ensure that it is, I guess, consistent with other sections of the community official plan.
Okay.
So I just want to provide some clarity on that, that it's not just a, it may not be just a standalone section of this bylaw, it is a complete section of the community official plan, and before making any changes to it, we should ensure that it's consistent with the intention and other sections of that community official plan.
Okay, so that will it be reviewed at what point in time then?
Not comfortable passing that tonight, you could refer back to staff to see if there's other sections. Without planning here right now, it's hard to say.
No, right. Yeah, I would, I'm not comfortable with it. I don't know if everyone around the table is or isn't, but it's either slipped through before without me noticing it, but certainly this one jumped.
If I could speak to this, I mean, the official plan was adopted with this wording. This is the wording that's currently there. What you're doing as part of this amendment, so it has gone through the official plan amendment process, is changing what's in red, which is the actual date of adoption. That was the whole purpose of what we were doing here, is amending this adoption date from 1978 to make it current to 2005. So the town may is what is currently there as part of the official plan. Like nothing else, this is not a new section as such. The only thing we're changing with this this bylaw is that date, December 13th, 2005 versus 1978. Right? So just to make sure that the council is aware, that's what we're doing here. This is not a whole new section. It's just what's in red.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps, Councillor Ferguson, this was something that was missed. This is essentially housekeeping. Mm-hmm. And perhaps this wording is the same. So maybe we go ahead with this this bylaw and we have staff come back and let us know if there's just an error here in this one paragraph or is there something more to consider as the clerk had identified? Because it may be that that's the next housekeeping error we may need to be looking at.
Sure.
Perhaps that would be the way forward?
Yep, I can
is
live
that
with
reasonable?
That. That's as long as it's not forgotten, that's all.
Okay.
Yep.
Councillor Maiden.
Just would like to suggest that maybe we could keep a COP pending list for staff so when we do come across these things that when we go to review, like do a whole comprehensive review, that we can look at that list. And I think that's your suggestion should be the first one on it. just a suggestion.
So I'm going to suggest, and I just, oh, here we are. I'm going to suggest that we go ahead with K1, the bylaw for the date on the surplus farm dwellings. And then, Councillor Ferguson, I could come back to you for direction on just verifying the wording here and if there is an error that may need to be corrected. And if it is that we have a running list, pending list on the OP. That could be one way that we do it. But just first things first, if we look, we go back to bylaw K1, is there a mover and seconder to approve this bylaw? Councillor Holmes, Councillor Dalgety, anything further? All in favor? Thank you, so that approves. And I'm just going to turn to the clerk again, just for process here, if we provide direction for staff to come back to us with clarity on that wording. Is that the best way to do that? Or should we move forward with an OP kind of pending list as had been identified as well?
I have it listed right now as an action to staff. I do believe that the planning department does have a running list on changes to OP. So I'll just flag it over to our planning department to bring loop back council and to add to their list of amendments or changes.
Did you want to have a motion attached to that direction, or should we just leave that with the clerk?
Leave it with the clerk, and now that we've had that discussion.
Okay.
Sure. Thank you.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you. So that concludes the bylaws. Are there any announcements or invitations? I guess I'll say, go ahead, Councillor Holmes.
Just maybe we should mention that on Saturday night there's going to be the a drive-in at the fairgrounds starting at, I think it's 7. We'll see how that goes.
Excellent. Good reminder on that. Anything further? So just an announcement that I shared with council earlier today. I was very, very pleased to attend a provincial announcement this afternoon, or this morning rather, at the Dairy Distillery, who were the recipient of $455,000 of investment dollars out of Economic Development Ontario. So Minister Fedeli and Minister Fullerton were here, along with a couple Ottawa MPPs, to make that announcement. So it's very exciting for the Dairy Distillery. They'll be looking to expand their operation and triple what they're able to produce in hand sanitizer. So it's quite exciting for them, and they're certainly one of the local stories we've all, I think, felt pretty proud of, their ability to pivot and also support our community through very challenging times in the last 5 or 6 months. If there's nothing further with announcements and invitations, I'll look for a mover and seconder for the confirmatory bylaw. Councillor Maiden and Councillor Dalgety, all in favor? Thank you. And a mover and seconder for adjournment, please. Everybody, Councillor Ferguson and Deputy Mayor Minnelli, all in favor? Thank you, folks. We're adjourned. We'll take a few minutes before starting the committee of the whole. Thank you.
Okay, we'll call the meeting to order. Disclosure of pecuniary interest and general nature thereof. You can speak now or later on when the item comes on the agenda. Mover and seconder to approve the agenda, please. Councillor Maiden, Councillor Holmes. Any discussion? All in favor? It's carried. Mover and seconder to approve the minutes, please. Councillor Ferguson, Councillor Girard. Any discussion on the minutes? All in favor? It's carried. So consent reports, I'm gonna move this over to Mayor Lowry as I'm gonna speak on the Parks and Rec Advisory Committee.
Still in the minutes, just give me a moment. Consent number 23. Okay, so we are in the consent reports, we have just the minutes of the Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee to be received. Perhaps before I look for a mover and seconder, I'll turn to you, Councillor, if you had some comments.
So I'm going to comment on the dog park. So the dog park working group, there's a working group out of the committee, visited Carlton Place dog parks back in February to get a visual on what would work well in our own area. The group also came up with two recommended sites in Elmont for the dog park, the preferred being Gemmell Park behind the Ball Diamond, the second being Sned and Casey Ball Field behind the ball field. Both locations were preferred based mainly on centralization and available parking. The group was in favor of the Carlton Place layout and size, allowing two sections for small and large dogs, 5-foot chain link fence, and double gates to prevent dogs from escaping while others entered. The original cost of the project had been reduced to an estimate of $20,000. The rec manager has earmarked the amount into the 2021 budget for discussion. The original estimate was $40,000, and that was based on a rough estimate given by Carlton Place. The Parks and Rec Advisory Committee at this point advised that a public consultation be the next step if Council wishes to move forward with this project to capture comments as well as the level of interest or not from residents. The public consultation can be virtual, the same way we are currently doing public meetings, and if Council wishes, the committee can do the groundwork to accomplish this and then report the findings back to Council if they wish to do so. So does Council wish to move forward with this project? And if so, does Council wish to task the Parks and Rec Advisory Committee with doing the next step of public consultation?
So I'm going to look to the clerk again just for some direction in how to best do this process-wise, since we didn't have a motion recognized in the agenda.
So what I would recommend is that you receive the minutes as they're presented, and then we can put forward a secondary motion where the council may direct the advisory committee to conduct public consultation as recommended by the Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee. Or if council sees fit that they would like staff to do this, that is another avenue that they can take.
Perfect. Thank you for that clarity. Let's first have a little bit of discussion just so we know where people are at with this. I think it's excellent work that the committee has done, so thank you for bringing it to our attention and reporting to it. Are there any comments on how you'd like to see this move forward from this point? Councillor Maiden.
I think having a public consultation would be good. I'm not sure what form that would take, but could be just a call for comments or a public meeting. Thank you.
Other comments? Deputy Mayor Minnelli?
I think we have to be really careful where we put this dog park because of the traffic and the cleaning and maintenance and everything. I think we have to be really careful. There's going to be a lot of people objecting to it in their neighborhood. For me, I don't think that the town is big enough for a dog park, but that's only my opinion. Thank you.
Other comments? Councillor Ferguson.
The question I would like answered is, now that the OVRT is up and running, has the bloom went off a bit of a dog park? It's a question I don't know, but I certainly think we've got miles of walking trails now for dogs, if that's the case. So I just wonder, is the same interest still there that there previous was?
Councillor Girard.
Thank you. I just wanted to make a comment due to my participation with the REC or with this committee and answering Councillor Ferguson. The people who have approached and are requesting the park are their intention is to have it as close to their property as possible so that they can not have to travel across town. I think it has to be an open meetings, so, or we have to get public comment, because if we put it on the other side of town, they might not use it. So I think we're going to have to put it through to a public consultation, because the people who have asked for it, this is not what they've asked for.
Councillor Holmes.
Thank you. I'm just wondering, is this dog park, is this going to be an off-leash dog park, or is it a leash dog park?
It's an off-leash dog park. And that would be the basic difference with the trail. The trail, they require leash.
Okay. Other comments about next steps and how that consultation should occur? If we would like to direct council, pardon me, not council, if we'd like to direct the advisory committee to do so, direct staff to do so, direct staff to do so with the support of the committee. Any thoughts on this? Councillor Holmes?
I think I'd like to hear from the two councillors who are on this committee what their thoughts are, because really because I'm not on there, I don't really know what would be entailed.
Mm-hmm. Did you have further comments you'd like to provide?
Sure. In my opinion, I think we should put it out there and just see what the residents bring back. The level of interest, and just verify that. The idea of the committee doing or being involved in the public consultation, this is basically talking to the working group, and I just look at it as taking off some heat off of the staff. It's virtual, it's not in a town hall type of meeting, so it's more clerical, and the findings of it can just come back in a report. But if council feels more comfortable with staff doing it, that's fine too.
Councillor Girard, did you want to provide some
thank you. I agree 100%. I think that the information can be collected via phone in, or what is that called, SurveyMonkey, or whatever the there are options. I don't think we need to have staff look into it to this extreme at this point. I think this is something that we still have to figure out whether or not there's a demand for it. So I think having the committee look after getting it organized is probably the best direction.
Councillor Maiden.
Through the chair, I'd like to ask the director of Parks and Rec about the capacity and his thoughts on this as well.
So if I can just, I guess, go back a little bit. This was something that was brought up last year at this time by a resident who came forward to our Parks and Rec committee. At that particular meeting, the resident was looking, was hoping that we could look at putting some kind of a dog park over in the Riverfront Estates Park. And that was his intent, I believe, at that stage. From that point, it came to council, and council tasked the Parks and Rec Committee with investigating and looking at it further, which Councillor Dalgety has explained. To this point, that's the only, I haven't heard from any other residents with respect to asking for a dog park. So this is the only request that I have actually heard. Our committee, our working group, I believe, has done a good job with researching it, speaking with Carleton Place. I've had discussions with the Director of Recreation in Carleton Place. They do have a dog park there. And we've reviewed it, we've looked at it. There will be, if and when we do come up with a dog park, it's not to say you just put fencing in and here's your dog park. And I want to make sure that's clear. There will be, obviously, there will be money that will have to go into our operational budget. There will be other costs associated. And in my discussions with Carleton Place, that was one of the questions I posed. So what kind of costs or concerns come about? And they do receive phone calls, whether people aren't, the public or the users aren't taking care of it as much as maybe they should be when they're in there with their dogs. So, you know, I can expect that we will have those same concerns if and when we do put a dog park in. I think, I guess going out to public consultation, we'll be able to see if there is more of a need other than that one particular group that has come forward. Because again, the phone is not ringing off the hook asking for dog parks at this stage. I think there's other things that are a little more pressing, in all fairness and all due respect. But it's not to say that, you know, there isn't a need. So I guess we'll probably hear more of that if we open it up. The other thing will be location. Our working group has only identified two spots that they felt would be appropriate. There may be other areas that, you know, weren't considered or weren't thought of, that will be looked at. But one thing that came out loud and clear in our investigation is if and when we do proceed, it's got to be in a location where there's parking, and someplace that residents can get to easily, because that's one of the concerns and things with respect to the dog park in Carlton Place that I think maybe could have been considered a little bit more. I think they're lacking in that area, and I think that's some of the feedback they've received since putting in their park. So we're trying to take some of those things into consideration when we came up with our two particular spots that we as a working group came up with, but there may be other areas as well. So I guess maybe to follow up on Councillor Ferguson's comment as to whether or not there's, you know, with maybe the need isn't there as much. I'm not sure. I can't really tell you. Maybe we'll find out more if we go through this public consultation process. If I've answered your question, but
I was kind of wondering about the capacity of staff to look after one right now. I think we would have to, you know, build that into your budget.
It'll have to be built in. It won't be just a matter of putting it in and saying, okay, there's the dog park. There's going to be operating costs that will be associated.
Okay, thank you. And just anecdotally, when I used to go workout with Cochrane Fitness in Gemmell Park, there is an off-leash dog park, and it's Gemmell Park first thing in the morning. There's lots of dogs there. So I think there would be an interest in having one, and it would probably be good to have them kind of closed in so they wouldn't bother other people. But thank you. Thank you, Calvin.
Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
Just on that comment, Councillor Maiden, all of Gemmell Park is a dog park.
Other comments? Questions? Just a couple of my own. I am aware of doing a public consultation and then it opening the door that people are expecting. So that would just be one concern I have of how the public consultation occurs. I think one of the things that we would want to have captured, whether it's staff or whether it's the committee that does this, is whether people are willing to this is an amenity they wish to have, but there's going to be a cost involved. So are they willing to pay something to access this? Otherwise, it comes straight out of taxes, and it's something everyone is paying for. So I think there needs to be some, however the if it's a SurveyMonkey or whatever it is, some recognition of, you know, there'll be costs, how should they be met? And I would hope that the survey would not just be of dog owners, but then those others who may have opinions about how those costs would be met. Those are my thoughts there. The only other things I would put forward for consideration too is that if it's staff that put out the consultation, there's access to the newsfeed and the website and Facebook and all that to try to reach as many people as possible. So I wonder if it's a combination of the committee, you know, thinking about what it is we need to ask and how to get the best information out of a survey, and then perhaps it's the staff that help actually administer it so that we get the most wide participation as we can. Those are my thoughts anyway in considering the consultation piece. Was there anything else you wanted to know? Is there anything else from anyone? Yeah, Councillor Maiden?
I noticed that it states in the report that there was going to be a meeting with the Curling Club, Has that taken place? Through the chair.
So, through the chair, there have been discussions with the Elmont Curling Club. As we're all fully aware, over the last 5-6 months, there's been a lot of things and obstacles and discussions that we've had to go through. So an update with respect to the curling club, we are looking at, and nothing has been signed off or official, but we're looking at going into a one-year agreement to get through the next year. And again, we haven't finalized that agreement yet. In an email that I circulated to council a couple of weeks ago, I indicated that the curling club has indicated that they are delaying their ice season due to the circumstances. And right now, one of the concerns the curling club's having is they're not sure what their numbers are actually going to look like. It is primarily senior driven, and they're planning on having registration with over the next couple of weeks. So that'll give them an indication as to where things sit for them, and if it's even feasible, you know, God forbid, that we can at least have some kind of a curling season this year. But if the numbers aren't there, then that's something that obviously has to be considered. So I've sent the curling club a draft agreement, just something to look over. They haven't got back to me yet. But again, I think it's going to be based on their numbers, and we will not be putting in any curling ice at this time until we know that we can have a curling season that works for both the curling club and for the municipality. So we're still working on that.
Through the chair, thanks very much for the update.
Okay, so just to bring it back to the dog park working group, because the council is looking for direction in how to move forward. Can I suggest that the committee of the whole direct the advisory committee to work with staff to conduct initial public consultation via SurveyMonkey? That would include costs, level of interest, possible locations, you know, things like that. Does that capture what we've discussed, I think? Yes, Deputy Mayor Manley?
Just on that, I think we should have some costs ready for the municipality when it comes to a public meeting. I think you should have some costs of what it's going to cost the municipality ready. If they're right.
Go ahead.
Through the chair, so when you're talking cost, you're talking operating costs?
Like total operating costs, yes. Total operating costs.
Yeah.
Not just half the costs.
Yeah. That's something that we'll try and put together as best we can. We don't have a dog park now, but we'll certainly look at that.
Thank you.
So perhaps I'd suggest a slight tweak then to the direction that once the cost breakdown is clarified, because that is in the notes here. They've got an estimate of $40,000, but that cost breakdown is pending. So once there's a better understanding of costs, it's 20 rather than 40? Oh, this is incorrect? Oh, okay.
It's correct, but things have changed since March. We've been able to get some more information. So it's down to 20.
Okay. Councillor Holmes?
Just to clarify, that's just capital costs, right? That's not operating costs?
Through the chair, yes, the number that was indicated in the minutes as of March 3rd is just the capital cost. Does not include operating whatsoever. And as I stated, there will be operating costs associated with this dog park.
So is the first step that it comes back with a clear estimate on what that cost breakdown is, and then we move into public consultations? Is how we want to do this? Deputy Mayor Minnelli is looking for a clear understanding of what those cost estimates might be. We only have capital at this point.
I think we should have operating costs in there when we go to the public consultation, so the public knows how much it's costing. So if you can get some kind of, I don't know how you're going to do it, maybe through Carlton Place or...
So just through the chair, just for clarification, Yeah, we could certainly look into trying to get some numbers for the operating side of things. Is it something that council wants to see before we go to public consultation, these operating costs? I'm not clear on that.
I was just working from where what you had suggested there, Deputy Mayor.
I don't want to see them as long as the public can see them.
Okay. And I'm going to go clerk here.
Can we receive the minutes first before we move on to making actions out of the minutes?
Yeah, good point. Good point. Thank you. So we have that clarified. As long as the public has it, we're okay with providing direction beyond.
Yes.
Was there something else that you wanted to add to that?
All I was going to say that it's only going to be an estimate based
yeah.
on what little bit of information that we've received from Croton Place. So
yeah.
there are a lot of operating costs. There's dog stations, garbage disposal. There's a lot of things that'll have to be added, but we can, I guess, probably come up with a guesstimate with regards to those costs.
So with the clerk's suggestion, we're going to look for a mover and seconder to receive the consent reports, which is the minutes from the Recreation and Parks Advisory Committee. Is there a mover and seconder? Councillor Maiden and Councillor Dalgety, all in favor? Thank you. So the minutes have been received. And then coming back to the direction that we're providing, I'm going to suggest that we direct the Advisory Committee to work with staff to put together a survey to conduct initial public consultation that will include costs, both capital and operating estimates, to gauge interest, location, and whatnot. Okay, does that capture what we've been discussing? Councillor Holmes?
Just to be clear, it'll be more than just people who are interested in having it. It'll also be opinions of people who might have other ideas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's important. People identify if they're dog owners or cat owners or whatever they might be. Okay. Is there a mover and seconder for that motion, that direction? Thank you, Councillor Dalgety. Seconder, Councillor Girard. Anything further? All in favor? Thank you. Whew. Back to you.
Thank you, Mayor Lowry. Okay, we're in section F, roads and public works. F1, Riverfront Estates, phase 3B, final acceptance. The recommended motion that the committee of the whole recommend that council authorize final acceptance for the finalized portion of plan subdivision 27M-68, Riverfront Estates, phase 3, to be known as phase 3B. In accordance with section 15 of the subdivision agreement, Pucciami Holdings Incorporated, and that committee of the whole recommend that council direct staff to prepare an assumption bylaw for the roads and associated infrastructure works constructed with the development of the portion plan of subdivision 27M-68 to be known as phase 3B. A mover and seconder, please. Councillor Maiden, Councillor Ferguson, discussion. No discussion. All in favor? It's carried. F2, award of contract, portable water storage facility. The recommended motion that the committee of the whole recommend the council approve the contract for tender number PW20-06 water storage facility be awarded to JC Sulphur Construction Limited in the amount of $2,985,765, HST not included. Mover and seconder, please. Mayor Lowry. Councillor Holmes, discussion. Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
I guess I'm okay with this. It's a huge pile of money. Could you bring back the debt that the sewer and water has? Like, because the sewer and water is collected was a separate money. Could you bring back how much debt the sewer people that use the sewer and water in Elmont owe, and let me know when last time the rates were changed, because I think there was some discussion that the water rates were a little bit behind schedule or a little bit lower. So them two things I always wanted a subcommittee of council for sewer and water,
but because it's a separate entity on its own, but we do it through council, so that's okay too. But could you bring them two things back for me, please?
Through you, the chair. Yes, I can bring that back.
Go ahead, Mr. Armstrong.
Sorry, through you, yep. Mr. Chair. Yes, Councilor or Deputy Mayor Rinelli, I can bring that information back to council.
Thank you.
Mayor Lowry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to say it was really interesting looking at the bids. They were all so very close, and that's not always what we see. And they were all significantly lower than what we were perhaps expecting. So it's still a huge amount of money. I absolutely agree with Deputy Mayor Minnelli, but I'm glad it's the other, the underside of the estimate and not over what our estimates had been. So that was really pleasant news when we opened this report. So thank you.
Any further discussion? Councillor Maiden.
Just to say that I appreciated the letter of recommendation, I guess, from J.L. Richards, which went into a fair bit of detail about each bid, any discrepancies and so forth. It was very open and transparent, and I like that. Thank you.
Any more discussion? Okay, she's available. Rhonda Whitmarsh?
She's just walking in.
Okay.
Yeah, if you want to speak over to Rhonda.
So, Deputy Mayor Minnelli, did you want to repeat? Just be right with you. Go ahead. Would you like to repeat your question?
Hi, Rhonda. Thank you for showing
Hello.
Up. I wanted to know if we could get the amount that's owed by the sewer and water department and how long it's going to take to pay back.
Okay, that's a very detailed question, the second part of it. So to the end of 2021, the projections for water and sewer debt is, 1 second. $11,901,113. It's to the end of 2021.
That's the debt right now?
It will be, including this loan.
Including that?
Yeah.
And at the sewer and water rates, how long would it take to pay back $11 million?
Oh, but the rate projections are 3% till the end of the term of the study, which is to 2024. And then beyond that, it'll have to be redone. So I'm not sure at this point.
It's just that we had a report saying that the water rates seemed a little low. Is there any way that we could bring them back and look at them to adjust them?
Right. So we'll be going through the budget process. And at that time, that's the appropriate time to discuss whether rates need to increase.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yep.
Any further questions on this item? Okay, all in favor of the recommended motion? That's carried. Thank you. Building and planning, F3, zoning bylaw amendment Z0820, West Part Lot 10, Concession 11, Pakenham. That the committee recommended motion that the committee of the whole recommend council approve zoning bylaw amendment to change the zoning on part of the lands known legally as West Part Lot 10, Concession 11, Pakenham, Municipality Mississippi Mills, from development D to residential first density R1. Mover and seconder, please. Councillor Ferguson, Councillor Holmes, discussion? None said. All in favor? That's passed. F4, zoning bylaw amendment Z1020, Pakenham. Glenn and Scott Timmons recommend a motion that the Committee of the Whole recommend that Council approve the zoning bylaw amendment to change the zoning on the lands known as municipality as plan 779 Part Block E, being Part 3 of reference plan 27R9111, Pakenham Ward, Municipality Mississippi Mills, from development D to residential first density R1. Mover and seconder, please. Councillor Maiden, and Councillor Ferguson. Discussion? Councillor Ferguson.
Yes, thank you. On page 45, paragraph under background, the second sentence, this consent application has not deemed complete by the County of Lanark. What does that really mean?
So what it means is that a consent application has been filed to the county.
Yes.
However, the county has not yet deemed it complete, so there may be information missing. I'm not really certain about that.
But not sufficient to hold it up, I think, as you said in your report, right?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions on this item? None said. All in favor? It's carried. We're on to F5, zoning bylaw amendment Z0520, 1029 12 Concession, South Pakenham. Recommend a motion. The Committee of the Whole recommends that Council approve the necessary zoning bylaw amendment to change the zoning of the retained agricultural parcel from consent application B19-/055 for part of the lands legally described as Lot 8, Concession 11, Pakenham Ward, Municipality of Mississippi Mills, from Agriculture A zone to the agriculture special exception A to X zone, prohibit residential uses on the retained lands and reduced minimum lot required lot area, and agriculture special exception A to X to reduce the frontage of the severed lands from 45 meters to 10 meters. Mover and seconder, please. Councillor Ferguson, Councillor Holmes, discussion? None said. All in favor? It's carried. Moving on to F6, zoning bylaw amendment Z1120, 4655 Appleton Side Road, Ramsey. Recommend a motion that the Committee of the Whole recommends that Council approve the necessary zoning bylaw amendments to change the zoning of the retained agricultural parcel from constant application B19/098. For part of the lands legally described as Lot 8, Concession 10, Ramsey Ward, Municipality of Mississippi Mills, from Agriculture A, zone to the Agriculture Special Exception A to X, zone to prohibit residential uses on the retained lands and reduce the minimum required lot area, and Agriculture Special Exception A to X, and reduce the minimum lot area and restrict the types of agricultural uses permitted on the severed lands. Mover and seconder, please. Councillor Girard. Deputy Mayor Minnelli, discussion? None said. All in favor? Carried. F7, zoning bylaw amendment Z0720, 6556 County Road 29 South, Ramsey. Recommend a motion. The Committee of Whole recommend that Council approve the zoning bylaw amendment to change the zoning of the lands identified as West Part Lot 6, Concession 9, Ramsey Ward, Mississippi Mills, from the community facility 1, zone to agriculture A zone. Mover and seconder, please. Councillor Holmes. Mayor Lowry. Discussion? None said. All in favor? Carried. Thank you, Maggie. Finance Administration. So we're on F8, Interim report number 7 on the financial implications of COVID-19. The recommended motion that the committee of the whole accept the treasurer's interim report on the financial implications of COVID-19 dated August 25th, 2020 is information. Mover and seconder, please. Councillor Ferguson, Councillor Maiden. Discussion. None said. All in favor of receiving? Carried. Go ahead, Treasurer Whitmer. Sorry about that.
I was shocked there. So this report is just a follow-up from ones that I've previously provided to you over the course of the last few months. Not really any surprises. Daycare is still operating at a deficit to the end of July of $71,069. REC is pretty much breaking even right now, surplus of $711. Town hall revenues are down about $11,000. The library has a fair surplus right now of $77,925, and that's due to layoffs, reduced spending, and the early receipt of their grants. The building department, surplus of $216,227 to July 31st, and same with water and sewer, $369,707. One of the good pieces of information that we received is that we're getting a grant from the ministry for $361,000 for COVID-19 related expenses, and there will be a reporting back. So that would be for things like PPE, cleaning, lost revenues, that kind of thing. Bylaw enforcement is another one that we've added. As I mentioned before, we're losing money or revenues from penalties and interest because we made the decision to waive the penalties on the final tax billing and also on interest on our investments. At the end of July, we had $20.2 million in cash and investments. I'm not seeing any cash flow issues, nor am I seeing any spike in arrears after the final tax bills went out or the latest water billing. So, unless there's any questions, that's the end of my report.
Councillor Ferguson.
Yes, thanks very much, Rhonda. Could you just repeat what we're looking for to put against the $361,000? The last word I heard was bylaw. Prior to that, I think there was about four or five other ones.
So I said the purchase of PPE,
okay.
Additional cleaning, lost revenues, bylaw enforcement.
That's the three. Good. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Councillor Holmes.
Thank you. Thank you for the report. I do appreciate that. I was really leery about the taxes, the land taxes, so you put my fears at rest there. I'm wondering, that money that we're receiving, do we have a certain amount of time to spend that? And there's, I take it it is to be spent on specific issues. Do you see us using all that? Do we return it?
I don't see us using it all in 2020 at this point, but we're going into the fall with possibly a second wave, like who knows, right? And then whatever is not spent, we're able to carry into 2021. So the funding is meant to cover 2020 and 2021. So we know that we're going to continue probably with limited capacity in some of our facilities like rec and daycare. So although daycare is reopening, but it just all depends on how the case counts go over the fall and what happens from there. So I don't see us using it all in 2020, though, for sure, unless something, really happens over the fall that we're not expecting.
Councillor Maiden.
Thank you. Just through the chair, just when the news came in about the COVID funds, I think $361,000, I was on the library board meeting, and they're keeping a separate file for all their receipts related to this, mm-hmm. And so I'd imagine that staff are as well.
Not specifically separate, but I do have a fairly good understanding of what we've paid and can certainly go back and capture them pretty easily.
Any more questions on this report? All in favor to receive this report? It's carried. F9, 2020 municipal grants and COVID-19. Treasurer Whitmarsh, do you want to speak about this recommended motion?
Sure. So with the COVID-19 pandemic ongoing, many organizations that received municipal grant funding are unable to proceed with their events. A couple of them reached out to me asking what would happen to their grants, and according to the policy, they should be returned to us if they're not spending, you know, the money or having their events this year. But I wanted to just ask council what their wish is. We have a couple of times in the past for a couple of small amounts allowed them to keep it, and then it's been reduced off of their grant for the following year. So that is the option that I'm recommending, actually, because I feel like these organizations are struggling financially, and they have already incurred costs thinking that their events were going to move forward. So just to be, you know, reasonable and fair, I thought that they should hang on to their grants, knowing that whatever they apply for in 2021, they would have... it would be either reduced or they wouldn't get anything because they've already got the money from 2020.
I'll just ask for a mover and seconder for this motion first. Mayor Lowry, Councillor Holmes. Questions? Mayor Lowry?
Just a comment. I appreciate the recommendation, and I think we're not in a position where the $23,000, I think, is going to make or break. We do have the sizable grant that you just mentioned from the ministry, and these are groups that do a lot of great work in the community. So I think it's the right thing to do to leave it with them, and if there's ways that they can move ahead with any of their events or whatnot in a different way in 2020, that's great. If not, we know that there's going to be a lot of costs for them anyway. So I do think it's the right thing to do, and I appreciate the recommendation.
Thank you. Councillor Holmes.
Thank you. I too agree that it's the right thing to do to leave the money with them, and hopefully they'll move forward. But I'd also recommend that all these organizations get a letter indicating that that's what we're going to do, and if they do not use it at the end of 2021, it needs to be returned. Thank you.
Any more questions on this item? All in favor? Carried. We're on to F10, develop final phase of business park. Mover and seconder, please. Councillor Maiden, Councillor Holmes. Treasurer Whitmarsh, do you wish to... is there any questions on this item? Sorry? CEO Kelly?
So just to give you a little bit of a background on this report. So this is the development of business park. You'll see that there's a recommendation there with regards to how we see rolling this out. This is something that's a little bit new in terms of it was not budgeted for in 2020, but I asked Treasurer Ms. Whitmarsh to stay, because I was just wondering when if we were doing this rollout in this way. So we were actually tendering for the work in the fall of 2020. Work was going to take place in 2021, and if necessary, we were doing borrowings towards the end of 2021. Would we see this as a liability in 2020 or as a liability in 2021? When the costs incurred versus when council voted the project to be actioned?
I guess that would be dependent on when the work is completed. Okay. Most likely it would be in the latter part of 2021, and the first payments would begin either in the latter part of 2021, so we're talking about a small amount, or into 2022.
Okay, thank you very much. So with regards to the way we, I was envisioning us doing this, is to council to give the approval to proceed, to go to tender. We would actually go out to market over the fall, over the winter. We would actually be looking at engaging somebody for work and construction in the spring, summer, fall of 2021 with hopefully advanced marketing such that agreements would be in hand. We'd know how much we would need to be borrowing for the long term versus how many purchase and sale agreements. So the cash flow that we would get from those purchase and sale agreements in 2021. So we would be able to borrow long-term, just basically what we needed to cover off the cost of the construction in 2021. So instead of the traditional way that it has been done, where we borrowed all the money, did all the work, and then sold the lots over time, hopefully we would be borrowing less at that moment in time. Now, just to make sure that we're accurate in this, if you don't sell the lots, you're still borrowing. Okay, so you know, we're going to do our best to minimize the borrowing because I know that's a an item that's top of mind for council. But if it doesn't work out, if the sales do not come to fruition, then we would still be borrowing what's needed to pay the contractors.
Thank you. Councilor Dryden.
Thank you, through the chair, to the CAO. I'm curious if it would be beneficial to have a discussion with regards to our business park and the zoning in the business park. If we were able to possibly open up what would be allowed to be built in there, if we would have more interest and therefore possibly sell some of the lots before we even start this project. Is that a consideration?
Yes, Councillor Girard, through the chair. That is actually what we're going to try and do. So before we actually incur substantial costs, we could start marketing these lots such that we know lots will be sold when they're completed. And I do believe Councillor Dougherty has already brought forward a motion with regards to the zoning and concerns that that he's brought forward, I believe, in the last meeting in that motion with us looking at, I believe it's the E1 zoning for this area and what the services are or the businesses that are allowed in that area. So that would require, generally when someone goes through the purchase process, a minor variance, and we deal with that way. Zoning amendment.
Councillor Holmes.
Thank you. I think just to add to what Councillor Girard had said, I think it's really important that Councillor Dougherty's motion from last council to have the staff review the business uses and to make some recommendations. So hopefully that would come forward, you know, before we start to sell these lots, so people know what they can do in those lots. I'm also wondering, can we stipulate a maximum time lapse between buying the lot and bringing a new business online? Because I know in the past that some of those lots have been bought on speculation and just laid there. So is there something we can do around that also so we can ensure that these lots are being put to good use?
So that is the second portion. So consideration on the sale price per lot and the conditions for immediate sale as per option two of this report. So that would be brought forward for council, so for you to provide direction in terms of that. In the past, it's my understanding that there was covenants on the land requiring it to be built on in a certain period of time. Those covenants were relaxed, and I believe the sales increased. So I think we do have to have some understanding in terms of what you want to achieve, but also what the market is willing to accept. So that is another discussion for council. Thank you, Chair.
Any further questions on F10? Councillor Ferguson.
Yes, thank you. Have we any idea in reference to the economic development? Is there a demand? At one time there were almost people standing in line in some places for it. Do we have any idea on the demand? And then also, what has been the average sale price of the lots? We are now looking at $157,000 per acre to capture the financing. What has the traditional off been on lot sales per acre?
Okay. Do you want to take the average sale if you know it? I
I would love to, but I don't have it here. I have it down in my office, so I can certainly circulate it, but I don't know off the top of my head.
Thank you for that, as long as we have some understanding as we're moving forward. Thanks.
Any more questions or comments?
Just with regards to the first component of Councillor Ferguson's question with regard to demand, over the years, at least since I've been here, we've been keeping kind of a running record of people that have been calling in looking for that. So we already have a relative, I'll say, a call list or an interest list of people that have been calling over the past at least year or so. So we have, you know, names and phone numbers and things like that, people who are interested. Now, we have never said that, you know, when they go to market, we'll immediately call you. It's always been, it's up to you as the person who has interest to stay on top of what we have, but we can definitely give people a heads up. So we do have some leads just for that.
Anything further? All in favor of this motion? Carried. So moving on to section G, notice of motion, Councillor Maiden's motion, cost sharing agreement. Councillor Maiden, do you move this motion on the table?
Actually, over the past week, I spoke with our clerk and a couple of the councillors. My motion has generated a lot of interest, which is good. I really wanted to bring it forward before we started budget discussions because it will affect our budget and probably the budget of Carleton Place if it's changed. With that said, I think we need to wait until after we hear the Howard Allen presentation on September 22nd. There's all kinds of things that have come up, like different ways of calculating these things and that sort of thing. So I would move that we defer this until the first council meeting after the Howard Allen report, and I think that's October sometime.
That would be Tuesday, October 6th.
October 6th.
Okay, can I get a seconder on that, please? Councillor Holmes, any discussion on the deferral? None said. All in favor? It's carried.
Thank you.
On to G2, Councillor Holmes' motion, support for Ontario Federation of Agricultural Appeal. Councillor Holmes, you put the motion on the table.
Thank you. I'll put the motion on the table.
Get a seconder, please. Councillor Ferguson. Councillor Holmes, you can speak to your motion, please.
Yes, thank you. So an individual has filed a Freedom of Information request with OMAFRA, and they want to be provided with the farm business registration numbers and business names information of all agribusinesses in Ontario. OMAFRA has refused to release the farm business registration numbers, but is planning on releasing the farm business name information. The three farm groups in Ontario, the Federation of Agriculture, the National Farmers Union, and the Christian Farmers Federation of Ontario have all said they will appeal this decision. Who wants this information and how are they going to use it is unknown, but it could affect our local farmers and agribusiness places. I would ask that you support my motion to draft and send a letter to all three farm groups supporting their decision to formally appeal to the Information and Privacy Commissioner of Ontario to prevent the release of any information relating to FBR numbers and business names.
Any questions? Mayor Lowry.
Thank you. I totally appreciate where this motion is coming from, and I personally understand where this is coming from, the work my family does. I'm a little hesitant to support it only because there are concerns with the FOI process itself, and I wonder if perhaps what we would prefer to do, and I would ask the clerk to jump in if she feels my suggestion is in any way out of turn, But we're certainly not alone in feeling like the FOI process is perhaps inappropriate and this is an example of it exactly. At the AMO conference, it was something that came up at the minister's forum, and the minister responsible for this did commit to meeting with, there was three different parties who had asked, AMO being one of them, to meet and discuss how this can be a cost-effective process, which it may not be for all parties at this time, how it can be appropriate for all parties and still remain transparent. So I wonder if perhaps what we would prefer to do is send a letter to the province indicating we have concerns about the process itself. Or maybe it's an and to this, but I'm a little hesitant to get involved in someone else's appeals, I suppose is the way to say it. But I don't feel like there's, I do sympathize is what I'm trying to say, and perhaps what we can do is advocate to the province for some changes. There certainly was loud voices about that last week with AMO, so I just offer that for consideration.
Councillor Holmes.
So I've talked to the clerk about, that was my original thought, that we would send this off to the government, to the province, and the clerk felt that that was not something we could do, so that's why we went this route, but maybe she would have some more ideas.
Madam Clerk.
Through the chair, more specific, if we wanted to provide comment on the Municipal Freedom of Information and Protection of Privacy Act or the FOI process in general terms, that is something we can send to the ministry. My hesitation was when it's regarding a specific appeal that is before the Information Privacy Commissioner, that it's not something that would be appropriate to send to the minister's office because it's not dealt through ministry, it's dealt through adjudicators at the Privacy Commissioner's office. But so this motion as it stands, we're just supporting these three associations in their appeal process by through a letter. But if you wanted to do a secondary motion that would encourage the ministry to review the MFIPA, which is Municipal Information and Protection of Personal Privacy Act, and the FOI process, that's something we can do.
Councillor Holmes.
So just to clarify then, you're saying we could do one or the other or both?
Exactly. Yeah.
Councillor Holmes.
So I would put an amendment that we do both then. I think it's very important to our agri community. We've just passed a bill to you know, help. The provincial government has passed a bill to give farmers some relief from some of the problems they've been having at their farms with people coming and letting animals go and whatnot, and you know, anything more we can do to help them, I think we should be.
Madam Clerk.
So what I may recommend through the chair is that you deal with this vote separately and then you add a secondary motion where Committee of the Whole will direct staff to draft a letter to the appropriate ministry regarding potential amendments to MFIPA and the FOI process to make it more fair and equitable, something along those lines. But doing them as two separate votes, I think, would be cleaner.
Okay. You wish to do that?
Yes, I do. Thanks.
So we'll do the first one,
yes,
and then you'll read the second one?
And then we'll deal with the first one. And then
okay. So any more questions on the first item here? The first one? Okay, all in favor of the first one? That's carried. So the secondary one, do you want to reread it, Madam Clerk?
The
Mayor Lowry, sorry.
I'd be happy to pull up the information in the notes that I had from that AMO discussion, and I think it might actually be online. If I can find that, I'd be happy to send you the little discussion. Oh, it wasn't little, actually. There was significant discussion about this, but I'd be happy to send that so you could see what had been discussed, and perhaps that will be part of what goes into the final draft.
Councillor Holmes.
So would it be advantageous to leave the second motion in for next meeting instead of trying to do it now? Okay. I would be happy to do that.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay. Mayor Lowry.
Sorry, I was a little out of turn there.
Sorry.
Maybe you and I can work towards having a notice of motion then come forward with some of this information. It was, and I'm sorry, I just can't remember who the three groups were that the minister had agreed to meet with in terms of addressing some of these issues. But if we can align with some of the bullet points that were brought up in that discussion, it might make the letter more effective. So I'd be happy to bring that to you, Councillor.
Councillor Ferguson.
Yeah, thank you for that. I think it's a very, very important, particularly what we've witnessed in the last couple of weeks in reference to protests and that at the Abattoir in Toronto, where there was a death involved over protesting and that, and I think that's maybe what spurred this on. I don't know, but I can only assume that, and the various protests going on to farmers' properties and things specifically to that. So I think it's very important that we address it, but that we address it in the manner that we feel it should be going forward. I think it's important.
Madam Clerk.
So just for clarity here, instead of putting a motion on the floor right now, I put it as an action item in the minutes that Mayor Lowry and Councillor Holmes will bring forward a motion regarding MFIPA, which is the Municipal Freedom of Information Protection of Privacy Act, and the FOI process. And then the ministry responsible for this is the Ministry of Government Services, or Government and Consumer Services.
Okay, we're all good with that. Councillor Holmes? Okay. Yeah. Okay, we're moving on to G3. Deputy Mayor Minnelli, motion support for Mayor Lowry. Mayor Lowry?
I'd like to declare pecuniary interest on this item.
Okay, thank you. Deputy Mayor Minnelli, you move this motion. We're on G3, your motion support for Mayor Lowry, and Mayor Lowry just declared.
I put a motion forward. Mayor Lowry was successful in her bid for the rural caucus for AMO, and I'd like to put a motion forward. You can see it on the paper to support her, the same amount finance that the county's supporting. This position has no per diem per day, so there's no monetary coming from the committee that she sits on. So I put this motion forward as support. So I'm looking for a mover and a seconder.
You're moving it, so I'll ask for a seconder. Councillor Maiden?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and seconder, and then we'll have some discussion about it, right?
Yep. Yep, so Councillor Maiden seconded it. So any discussion? Councillor Maiden? Yep, we're good.
I would suggest that if she doesn't bring us our broadband, she has to pay it back. Just kidding, thanks.
Okay, any further discussion on this motion? Councillor Ferguson?
Yeah, I'm surprised, and maybe I shouldn't be, that AMO doesn't provide expenses for travel and work. We pay enough to go to a conference. I would assume that the directors would have been at least compensated for that, but I stand to be corrected.
I don't know.
I guess they're cheap.
Yeah. To Councillor Ferguson through the chair, it is my understanding that AMO does not provide for expenses. They do attempt to do a lot of meetings by virtual. Of course, this year, yes, everything's by virtual. But even in the future, they do try and do that. But it is my understanding that you're traveling on your own. There's not just no per diem, but they don't pay for hotels, flights, or anything like that that goes with it. So that's the reason why the county stepped up and provided funding, because it is basically a go-it-alone approach on this, and this does help out. Thank you, Councillor.
Any further questions? All in favor of this motion? That's carried. Come on back, Mayor Lowry. So down into information items, there's no mayor's report this evening. County councilor's report. Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
Yeah, the last meeting was the first meeting that all the chairs showed up at the meeting at the county. So this week, the chairs of the other two committees, Public Works and Corporate Services. So last week was Community Services and Corporate Services. The council meeting was very short and sweet because there was no bylaws except for the one to extend the participation by electronic meetings. And then we went into Community Services was next. We got an update on Lanark Lodge, and they're focusing on the road ahead for Lanark Lodge and what's next, and they call it phase three, creating a new reality. Up the Lanark Lodge, the wages are still really high there because of all the extra work that has to be done. They have no cases of COVID-19, which is really good, and they've kept it really clean. I'm really proud of the people that work there. And we have this motion that came forward to support Dr. Paula Stewart and all her, the way she's worked so hard and delivered all the information to everybody through this pandemic. I'm not going to tell you how that motion came around. I'll leave that. That was a bit of a, came up right away over talk at the province level. And we had an update on Transportation Committee. They have a little excess because nobody's working and they're not paying anybody. And then they had the committee, the whole Corporate Services. We talked about fire communication. The county owns all the towers for the fire communication for the fire department. Right now it's analog. They want to replace the components with analog, but we're going to look into non-proprietary digital, which is the next cheapest way to go, and it's into the 20th century and not the 18th century. And they adopted a work-at-home policy that they're going to review in 6 months. And staff, they're also going to discuss how we're going to get back to meeting in person up at the county. They're going to rearrange some furniture, and they might even get a new phone up there so they can hear the meeting. There's not much up there to... But I think they're going to go ahead with what we have. They're really impressed with our communications and digital stuff. So I think we're leaders of the pack when it comes to that kind of stuff. So looks good on us. Thank you. That's my report.
Thank you for the report. Any questions to Deputy Mayor Minnelli on his report? Okay, we're moving on. We have no MVCA report this evening. Mover and seconder for the information list to be received. Councillor Maiden, Councillor Ferguson. We're on page 103, I believe. Yep. Any information items to pull? Councillor Maiden.
Information item number 8, about Contact North. Seems to be a portal or something for learning opportunities with people working, I guess, students learning from home and that sort of thing. And I don't know whether it would be appropriate or not. I would ask maybe the clerk to advise me, but so that we could maybe broadcast this on our municipal website or something so that people who are interested would be able to see it. Questions?
Sorry, are you saying promote Contact North, the online learning opportunities on our municipal website? I think that's something we can look into, but and we can have further discussions at our next meeting if that's something council would like to support.
Councilor Holmes.
I'd like to pull number 3 and number 5, please.
3 and 5. Any others? Okay. All in favor to receive the information list? It's carried. Page 125, 126, meeting calendars. Any errors, omissions, or edits? Or 25. Councilor Maiden?
For September 23rd, the library board is meeting from 3 to 5.
Anything further? Moving on, other new business, anything? Councilor Ferguson?
Yes, thank you. Have we had any feedback from any of the people that are listening online? How is the sound? Are they getting it as well as we're getting it here? Sometimes it sounds like it marbles in your mouth. I think me going across, I don't know. So how is it being conveyed out there? Have we had any feedback?
The sound with our teleconference didn't work out so well, so we got some feedback on that.
Okay.
For those who don't have high enough broadband or internet services, I also record the audio, which I then post on our website following the meeting, so people can get access to the audio afterwards as well. In terms of the video, though, I've heard that it's pretty, that people are happy with it for the most part. I think it takes a bit of adjustment, but the audio is good because it's coming straight from the sound tower, not a speaker on the camera, so the audio is clear for the live streaming and through the recorded audio, which we post on the website following the meeting.
Mayor Lowry?
I got a fair amount of feedback following the first meeting, and if you recall, we were having a hard time. The plexi shield hadn't arrived, so we were having staff call in. I think there was they weren't able to hear the staff call in. But obviously we've hopefully solved that problem with having staff come and present here in the room. Visually, I have been getting complaints because they can't see Deputy Mayor Minnelli's full outfits. Yeah. So I've suggested perhaps he needs to cross the room, show off the new shoes, you know, so there have been some complaints that way.
If nothing else, we move on to the pending list on 127. Any questions or comments? None there. Councilor Maiden, did your hand go up?
Yeah, I was wondering if the fire truck conversion should be on that. Just an update, if that's coming. Or is
CEO
that
Kelly?
I know that you did request information, and that's been forwarded off to the Acting Director of Public Works to provide us with an update. So we are working on that update on the truck. Yep.
Thank you.
Anything else? Mover and seconder for adjournment, please. Councilor Ferguson, Mayor Lowry, all in favor. We are adjourned. Thank you.